This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we are going to start today in Washington, where pressure is on senators to deliver both the cornerstones of President Biden's domestic agenda. So that's a bipartisan infrastructure bill and a massive social spending plan. The Democratic Party, which holds slim majorities in the Senate and in the House, set a Halloween deadline to get them done. From roads to taxes, child care, much hangs in the balance here. A few minutes ago, we asked this question to Senator Elizabeth Warren. Will the party bring its promises home to Massachusetts by its own deadline?
I sure hope so. That's what we're working on. Because, look, we're reaching a point. We just need to fish or cut bait here. You know, we're all pretty much saying the same things to each other. And now's the time that's hard. You know, everybody's got to give a little.
Is cut bait on the table, Senator?
You know, I use that in the metaphoric sense. There are going to be some cuts, though. We're not going to get everything we wanted. Nobody is. And that's me, and that's true for the other 49 Democrats who are trying to hash this out. What I care about is that the Republicans, who will not help us at all and not vote for any part of this and will not participate in the discussion, I don't want what they want, which is nothing. They want nothing to happen. And that's, we're not going to do that. We're going to get something, and we're going to get it through, and we've got to get it done now.
So what might get left on the cutting room floor that will be a disappointment to you, and what will probably survive that's really important to you?
Well, I have to say it's looking hard around community colleges right now, and that's tough. That hurts a lot. On the other hand, it's looking really strong around child care and universal pre-K and getting a really robust program, a strong program that will help families that are just really struggling with the cost or struggling because they don't even have any available. So trying to make it so that every family that needs it has got access to affordable, high-quality child care. God, that would be transformative, transformative for millions of women, particularly across this country. And by the way, raise the wages of every child care worker and preschool teacher in America. That's pretty exciting. So, look, I want everything, but I'm really happy about the child care part as it now stands.
Senator, you are being so transparent with me on this, and I really appreciate it. So I want to stay with that for a minute, and I want to ask you kind of what's in my heart on this. Congress holds a lot of power. This is a party right now, a Democratic Party, that holds the House, the Senate, and the presidency. There's work to be done for the country. How should voters in Massachusetts feel when, with all that power, things are still so uncertain? Can the work of the country get done?
Well, it's true. Democrats hold the majority in the House, the Senate, and the White House. But our majority in the Senate hangs by a thread. We are a 50-50 Senate. We hold a majority solely because the vice president is also a Democrat and can break a tie. And that means that, I just say this in the abstract, any Democrat who says no threatens to upset everything we've got here. We have no margin for someone walking away. And that means there's more compromise going on than certainly I had hoped would be the case. But here's the part that gives me hope. We all know how much this package is needed, how the pieces in it are so important, child care, home and community-based care, expanded health care. We're talking about vision, dental, and hearing for seniors under expanded Medicare, and how it is long past time to put a real investment in fighting back against climate change. We know how important all of this is, and knowing how important it is, we cannot fail. We cannot let ourselves fail. So I know it looks messy from the outside right now. Heck, it looks messy from the inside right now. But I think we are moving forward, and I have real hope that we're going to get this done, and we're going to get it done pretty soon now.
In what you hope passes, what is most important for your constituents here in Massachusetts? What do you think is most essential to bring to the Commonwealth?
I think childcare is very high on that list. We are one of the most expensive states in terms of the cost of childcare. And keep in mind, when people can't work, that has echoes all the way through the economy. So every time I talk to a retailer, a small business, a restaurant who says, I can't get employees, even though I'm offering more money than I used to, part of the problem, I will ask right away, do you have workers who have childcare problems, or did you have workers? And they say yes. Can't get people back in the door. And that then continues to echo through the economy. So for me, that's one of them that I think is top of the list in Massachusetts. Also, I think it matters enormously in Massachusetts that we try to build some fairness back into the system. And that is to ask billionaires, giant corporations, they've got to quit this business of paying nothing or nearly nothing in taxes. I'm not even talking about raising the marginal rate. I'm talking about the folks who get away with paying nothing. And let's be clear, many of them do it legally. I think that is really bad for our Commonwealth and bad for our country. It undermines confidence in the notion that we're a democracy and we're in this together. And when hardworking middle-class families have to pick up the full ticket and billionaires, Jeff Bezos, is paying less in income taxes than the typical Boston public school teacher, that's just wrong, and people know it's wrong. We need to demonstrate that we've had enough of that and that we can actually fix it.
All right, I know you have a heart out, so let's take just a minute here to talk about the reintroduction of the Stop Wall Street Looting Act. You've just been talking about billionaires. This is about private equity and preventing them from saddling the companies they invest in with debt in order to get payouts. But I had to do reading, right, to get to that understanding. Could you just briefly explain for our listeners, what are you trying to do and what's the focus of that bill?
Right. So think of it this way. You have a nursing home that is a nice little outfit, mom and pop, been running it for a long time. The kids took over when they retired. And some private equity outfit in New York figures out, wait a minute, I think there's money to be made here. So they come in. They offer the current owners a nice price for it. And then instead of investing in the business, maybe adding another wing or stepping up, redecorating the game room, they say, what we're going to do is suck all the value out. So they actually sell the building and pay themselves for what they just bought, and they don't put any money in fixing it up. Then they saddle that nursing home now with rental payments when it didn't have any rental payments before. They cut staffing. They cut supplies. And we end up in a world, and this is what the numbers show, where when private equity takes over a nursing home, costs go up by about 10% and deaths go up by about 10%.
So I'm sure you know that the American Investment Council, which is, you know, the trade and lobbying group for the industry, has told CNBC that the industry directly supports more than 300,000 jobs and invests in 545 companies just in the Commonwealth. Is there anything good that private equity is doing that you want to hold on to as you stop what you think is harmful?
So let me just push a little bit back on the statistic they quote. What they're really talking about is private equity now controls nursing homes in Massachusetts, mobile home communities in Massachusetts, for-profit colleges in Massachusetts, and that's how many employees are currently working at those places. In fact, what we know is once private equity comes in, they lay people off and they reduce salaries. So you know, I get it. They are the lobbyists, so they're going to spin it the best way they can. But this is a real problem for us in Massachusetts. Now, I don't want to cut out all private equity. Private equity wants to come in and invest in a business. Private equity wants to come in and help expand it, help build it up, help it do better. Shoot, I'm all for that. What I'm opposed to is private equity that comes in and sucks all the value out of a business with a giant vacuum cleaner, pays itself, and then leaves a hollow shell that either just limps along with fewer employees and less investment, or ultimately collapses into bankruptcy. I just want to put some curbs on the industry so that's not what happens.
Do you have time for one fun question before we let
sure.
you go? Halloween
yeah.
in a week and a half, will you be home to yeah. celebrate in your neighborhood? And what's the candy of choice in the Warren household?
So, yes, I'm going to be home. I am actually looking for my candy. I love Mounds, particularly.
Me too.
You know, the
yes.
candy bars. But I went to the store last weekend, and they didn't have any. So I got a bunch of other candies. But if I can find it, I'm going to be handing out Mounds bars. And I should say, our dog, Bailey, he has his costume.
Oh, what's it going to be?
He's going to be a lion.
Fantastic. All right. Well, that is my moment of joy for today. Senator Warren, Massachusetts Senator, thank you so much for joining us. Happy Halloween.
You bet. Thank you, and happy Halloween to you, too.